don't remember that quite yet. Look forward to that in about 15 years or so. I was looking at the video and thinking back, and you know, there's a lot of great things that obviously happened back 40 years ago and throughout the time of the church, but some of the dress habits of some of the guys in this church, kind of glad I wasn't around for that. And that was a little bit different. And it was really interesting. I saw that picture of Pastor Mike where he was doing the whatever thing in the window over there. That was actually on my 11th birthday. That was quite interesting to see that. So it's cool looking back through the memories. Very thankful for the number of people that have been a part of this church throughout its history. And very thankful for everyone that is here this morning as we are able to look into God's Word. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you're not already there from the scripture reading this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we will begin there. This morning I've entitled the message, Who Am I? In a world where we are surrounded by really a large identity crisis, it is something that we as believers need to ask ourselves pretty much on a daily basis. Who am I, or who do I identify with? Really, it comes down to, do I identify with the world or do I identify with Christ? As Brother Bob read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are to consider, as Paul's writing to the church at Corinth there, that we will one day stand before the Lord and give an account for our lives. And to say whether what we have done was good or bad. And if we as believers, if we are standing there, and can we say that, Lord, I lived my life for you. That I told everyone around me that I identify with you. That I don't identify with the world. Because what we understand, we get down to verses 16 and 17. When Paul says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's open up with prayer this morning. Lord, thank you that we can gather together this morning. We can sing praises to you. We can worship you. We can sing about how great you really are and how we serve a wonderful, powerful Savior. Lord, I pray as we look at this topic this morning about what we are identifying with, that it would cause each one of us to desire to identify with you, not just in what we say, but in what we do. Lord, I pray that you would just bring about a passion in our lives as individuals and as members of this church and as people of the body of Christ, Lord, that we would be just on fire for you in everything that we do. And we would realize that it has an eternal impact. Obviously on our lives as we see in this passage, but as we're going to see on the lives of those around us. Pray that you bless this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The identity crisis that we are facing. When I think of identity and what we are called to identify with, you think about all the identity theft in the world around us. I know just recently there was a news story that there was a card skimmer over in Kennewick. These things happen all the time. Back in 2017, over 14 million credit cards were exposed. Their numbers were exposed. In that same year, 158 million Social Security numbers were exposed. In a world where we feel secure, where we feel like no one's ever going to steal our identity, so to speak, it is definitely happening. And that is on more of a physical, temporal level. But what about our identity as Christians? Or do we even identify as Christians? I'm going to ask two questions this morning. I'm going to ask you at the beginning of the message and then come back to it at the end. The first one is, I want you to ask, what is my spiritual identity? And there's really only two answers. Either you identify as saved or unsaved. You identify as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, or you don't. That is the two options this morning. My prayer is that everyone here identifies as a believer. But understand that that is most likely not the case, that there is someone here today that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So I want us all to consider that. First of all, where do we begin? Do we identify as a believer, or do we identify as an unsaved person? If saved, second question, I want us to consider, what is my identity? What is my identity in? Who is my identity in? We're going to look at that this morning. First of all, I want to consider some lies that the world tells us about who I am. The ladies in their evening Bible study on Tuesday nights are going through a book called Lies Women Believe. Very amazing study. It's got a lot of amazing truths in it, not just for ladies. Obviously, it's specifically for ladies. But some things really that we all need to consider. But some things that I found an author that compiled this list of five things of lies that we believe about ourselves. First one being that I am what I have. I am defined, I identify with what I possess. And in our world today, we understand that materialism is extremely popular. That is always trying to get the new and the best thing, and we identify by our possessions, by if I have this, then I'm better than that person, or if I don't have this, then I'm not better than that person. Materialism is prevalent in our world today, and it begins at a very young age. You know, it's hilarious when we take my daughter to other people's houses and they have different toys. She just goes right to those toys and has to grab them, and then trying to get them away from her when we leave is always extremely difficult. And it's funny, it doesn't even have to be anything amazing. I'm so thankful that she likes whatever we give her that's new, but it usually doesn't last super long. She loves the boxes that toys come in. I always thought that was kind of a joke, that that wasn't every kid. That's definitely every kid. We don't even have to get her anything fancy, just get her a box. But this materialism starts at a very young age. You see it even in just a one-year-old like mine. But as we get older, it shows itself in a lot of different ways. Even if you aren't just going around verbally comparing yourself to others, it's something that we think about in our heads all the time. Even if we're trying not to. We see a person who gets something new and like, oh man, how can they do that? How can they get that? Man, I wish I was able to get that. You see, that is the mindset that the world is trying to force on us, that I am what I have. That is what defines me. Well, Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, our heart should not be with our treasures that we have here on this earth. We've heard this many times before, and my dad used this illustration a lot. I'm sure you've heard it here before, but you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Kind of a common, popular thing. I actually saw a picture once of a hearse pulling a U-Haul. I think some preacher was, somebody in a congregation was like, oh, I'm going to show him. I'm going to pull a U-Haul trailer with a hearse. But that's not something you see on a common basis. When someone dies, they take nothing with them from this world into eternity. All the possessions that we try to build up, the things that we take value in, that the world tells us are valuable, are temporary. They only last a short time. We cannot take them into eternity. Our treasure is where our heart is. We are telling people where our heart is by what we treasure the most. And if we are saying that we value the most our possessions, we're telling everyone around us what we value the most. We're saying that the most important thing to me is what I own. We understand that that is a lie from this world, from Satan himself, that I am what I have. The second lie is that I am what I do. That my job, my position, the authority that I have been given is what defines me. You know, there are different jobs. Maybe you think, well, my job, I would never tell anyone that that's what defines me. Well, maybe that's not something that you struggle with. But for some people, the position that they have, it could be a stumbling block to them. It could be a matter of pride to say, well, you know what I do? Or you know the title that I have at work? It's like six words long. It's pretty impressive. You know, the authority that I've been given in this situation, or the even in the volunteer role, we are so focused on what positions and titles that we have sometimes that that is what we identify with. Galatians 6 and verse 3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Love Paul in how honest and blunt he is. If you think that you're something, he could have even just said, if you think you're something, then you're deceiving yourselves. But he puts that little phrase right in the middle there. If you think you're something, when you're really nothing, you're deceiving yourselves. What really is our position? What can we lay up for ourselves in the positions that we have that are going to matter in eternity? Are we going to get into eternity and be telling each other, "Oh yeah, see, I was a project supervisor on that job. That was pretty impressive. Oh yeah, I was able to lead that group and did some really amazing things with that." No, you see, we can't take that into eternity either. When we try to identify with what we do, with positions that we hold, we are once again focusing on this earth. We are focusing on the temporary positions that we have, and we are losing sight on eternity. The third lie that we can see about that that the world is trying to tell us is that I am what other people say or think of me. And folks, this is possibly the biggest one that we deal with today. You see, as opposed to back 40 years ago or so, we don't even have to guess what people think of us anymore. And I wouldn't exactly say it's because people are naturally more honest with each other. There's just, our society as a whole is a lot more transparent because of technology. When we think about the different things that are posted on social media or in the news or what people say, word spreads a whole lot quicker than it used to. You know, if you had a friend that lived 20 miles away back a long time ago, they actually had to come and tell you, or you had to wait until word of mouth came to you of what they thought of you. Now it can be sent in a text message. It can be sent through an email. It can be sent through social media. And even something as simple as we know what people say and we allow that to affect us. But have you thought about how many times we've allowed what we think people think of us to affect us? Like, we can just imagine, like, "Oh, I saw the way they looked at me. I know what they're thinking about me." Or even with our technology these days, have you ever read into a text message what wasn't there? I know I have to be really careful. Anybody else do this when you're writing a text message and you type it all out and you go to hit send, you're like, "Yep, you have to erase that," and type it all up again, and then you erase that again. It's like you go through like five different versions of it. Because you're like, "Oh, that doesn't sound right." And then you send it and you're like, "Oh man, that does not sound right. Maybe I need to send like a wink emoji or something so that they understand that this is a smiley thing." We get so caught up in like, what are people thinking of us? We don't know for sure what they're going to think. But we are so focused on what people think of us that we forget that that is not what should define us. That that is not what our identity is in. Aren't we thankful for that though? Aren't we thankful that our identity is not in what people think of us? Because boy, our identity would change a lot, wouldn't it? Like, today it's good, tomorrow it's bad. This person thinks good of me, this person thinks bad of me. Our identity is not in what others think of us. What we're really trying to do is we're trying to serve two masters, as we see in Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, this goes to, if we say that we're Christians, and we say that we are living for Christ, and yet we are too worried about what people think of us, we are doing exactly what this verse says, and we're trying to serve two masters. We're trying to please others and please God. God isn't calling us to please others and please him. It is to please him, period. Is to live for him, period. Not adding anything else to it, not subtracting anything away from that. It is to please God, to live for him, to identify our lives with him and live for him in everything that we have. The fourth lie that we see is that I am nothing more than my worst moment. I am nothing more than my worst moment. Maybe there's people here this morning that struggle with that, where you define your lives, your identity is in those times or that one time that you are at your worst. And you cannot get over that point and say, "Well, man, that I know that the Lord has done a lot for me, but that time in my life was just so bad. I don't think I can ever do anything for the Lord because of it. You're still identifying with the past. You're still identifying with where you had a problem, where you did something that you're just not letting go of. We looked at a couple weeks ago the story of Elijah, and where he had just seen a great victory won by the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 19, where he had just seen the Lord defeat the prophets of Baal in an amazing way. I mean, the miracles that the Lord did just in that one event would have blown everyone away that was there. Just like, wow, that is amazing. And God did that through Elijah. And for Elijah to see what had happened. And yet directly after that, when Jezebel sent word to him and said, I am going to kill you just like all those prophets died, Elijah forgot immediately about that moment, and he just went, and he went off into the wilderness, and he asked the Lord to kill him. He's like, oh, I forgot completely what the Lord has done in the past, but now all of a sudden, in this moment, I am facing death. I am facing that Jezebel is going to kill me. Therefore, God, just kill me. He was letting himself be defined by one single moment. He was forgetting what the Lord had done just moments before that. See, he was letting himself be defined by that low moment. Folks, if we allow ourselves to be defined by our worst moments, we are saying that we are not identifying with Christ. We're allowing ourselves to once again focus on those temporary moments in our lives, and we're not looking to the eternal Lord to define us. And then lastly, number five, the fifth lie that we see, that we believe, is I am nothing less than my best moment. So we can get caught up in those bad moments and the times that we struggle with, and that let that define us. But are we letting our best moments define us? You know, this one really speaks to the issue of pride. We're allowing past achievements to define us. Things that we have done here on this earth, things that God has given us the ability to do. Things that without him we would not have been able to accomplish. And yet we're allowing ourselves to be defined by that moment. When people ask us who we are, that's something we think about. Well, you know, I haven't done a lot, but I did do this one thing. I was able to accomplish this. The attitude there is, as I mentioned, pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If we allow pride to consume us, we are once again stating that we are not focused on eternity. We are focused on the temporary times that we have here on this earth. And we are saying as Christians that we're not identifying with Christ. We're saying that we would rather identify with a moment in time where we have accomplished something. Folks, each one of these lies are going to affect each one of us differently. Some people may struggle with just one of these. Maybe a couple of them. And others are going to struggle with different ones. But the point is, are we identifying with anything apart from Christ? As believers, we are called to identify with him and him alone. Therefore, I want to look at, if we as believers, what are some truths about who we are? When we look at Scripture and we understand some things that we as believers are because we are new creatures, because we are new creations in Christ, what are some things that we can grab onto? Because I understand in a world that is always changing and these different things are happening and we feel like we're going to be left alone and just kind of left out in the cold because everything else is changing around us, are the identity of this world, the identity of we as individuals, it seems like it should be changing all the time. But what do we know about us as Christians? When it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is new about us? What should define us? First of all, we need to understand that we are created by God. Folks, we didn't just all of a sudden appear here on this earth just by kind of random happenstance. We were created for a purpose. Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. If we're identifying with Christ, we're acknowledging that he created us, that God created us and made us for a purpose. And can we say with the psalmist here that we acknowledge that and that my soul knoweth right well? Are we living in light of that? If we are thinking and considering about how God created us and how he made us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that should identify us with God, because he created us for a purpose. We are created by God. Secondly, though, we are also not just his creation, we are God's children. We are a child of God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Folks, it wasn't even enough just for God to create us, to give us an opportunity to live here on this earth. But he has given us the opportunity to be his children. If you're here today and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are his child. You're not just being brought into the household as a servant, which we barely even deserve to be brought into it as that. We are his child, and he loves us, and he cares for us. He is our heavenly Father. But number three goes even a step further. The third thing we need to understand that we see in Scripture is that we not only are his child, the child of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. It's not even like we were adopted into the family and then we're kind of like just like a second-rate member of the family. We are placed on equal status with Christ. We are joint heirs with him. And that just blows my mind every time I try to consider that. We deserve to be slaves. We deserve to be servants, to be locked in that bondage forever, to serve God, the one who we turned on, the one who we said that we didn't even care about through how we live our lives before salvation. Yet he brought us into his family as his child, but then even more so as joint heirs with his only son, the one who died for us. The one who died for us, we are joint heirs with. Romans 8:17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." We are joint heirs with our Lord and Savior, the one who died for us. And number four, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we need to understand that our bodies are not our own. That we can't just decide what we want to do with our body. That we can't just say, "Oh, I'm going to do this," and that it's my decision. Our bodies as Christians are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Do we live our lives? I don't even have to ask that question. We live our lives many times, most of the time, as if this body is ours. And we can just make the decisions based on whatever we feel is best. As Christians, we are called to a higher standard because this body is not our own. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are called to live like that. Number five, we are also called to holiness. As Christians, we are called to live a set apart life. Ephesians 1:4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love." We are called, we are chosen of him, that we should be holy, that we should be set apart. Set apart from what? There has to be something that's we're being set apart from. From the status quo, from the world, from everyone that is identifying with the world as a whole. We are to be set apart from that. There should be a noticeable difference, as we've said many times, in how we as Christians live our lives and how the world lives their lives. People shouldn't have to guess if you are a Christian. People should know, hopefully by what you say, but most definitely by what you do or you don't do. Folks, we should live set apart lives. Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." Folks, don't conform to this world. We are called to holiness. We are called to those set-apart lives where we transform our living from what it was like before salvation to what it is now like as Christians. And then number six, another truth that we see about us as Christians if we are identifying with Christ, is that we are eternally secure. Folks, what a wonderful truth, and one that is not told to a lot of Christians. We understand that once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are eternally secure. That there is never a point that we can lose our salvation. And folks, I can say that and just say that it sounds good and give you some false security, but I'm not just making this up. Once again, as Pastor Randy mentioned this morning, the reason this church has been here for 40 years is because it's founded on the Word of God. And as he has also said many times, if anyone from this pulpit, myself and him included, we ever start to say anything that does not line up with Scripture, I would hope you would tell us about it. Because, folks, we know that we're eternally secure, not just because it sounds good, but because it is in Scripture. In Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, Jesus Christ, also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that we are sealed, John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life. Christ speaking here, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Folks, no person, no being, no nothing is able to take you out of God's hand once you have accepted him as your personal Savior. Folks, no sin that you have ever committed that you come before God is ever going to remove you from the love that he has for you. How do I know that for sure? Well, because we know that before we loved him, he loved us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we started to show some love for him, because if that were the case, there would be probably nobody that is saved. He loved us before we loved him. And he sent his son to die for us while we were still sinning. What amazing love is that? Now, love doesn't stop when we accept that free gift of salvation. It continues through all eternity. We cannot lose our salvation. And then lastly, number 7, we identify with Christ. We say that we are Christians. And we do these things. We understand these different ones that we've already looked at. How are we living that out, though? You see, number 7, we are the light of the world. If we are identifying as Christians, we are to be the light of the world to those around us. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Understand, Jesus is the light of the world, but how does that impact us? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you are a follower of Christ, you've accepted him as your personal Savior, you have that light inside of you. You have that precious gift that you can tell others about. In a world that is walking in darkness, in a world that is lost and has no way, that they don't know what's going on, that has lost their identity. That is really, you see everything around us that is people seeking for identity, trying to claim, well, maybe I'm not this, but I'm this over here. They're searching. And you as a Christian have the light of the world inside of you. And we are commanded to tell others about the one true light of the world. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Folks, if we identify with Christ, we understand one of the things we're called to be is a testimony, is to be a witness to those around us. If we're hiding our light, if we're saying that I don't care about those around me, maybe somebody else will tell them. Maybe that relative that they have that I know is a Christian, maybe they'll talk to him about it. It doesn't really matter if I live like a Christian. Folks, we are called to be set apart. We are called to live in light of what God has done in our lives. We are to understand, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are one day going to give account for that. And that we are one day going to stand before God. And folks, we need to understand that we want to be able to stand there and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not going to matter when we get to heaven if we were able to earn a lot of money throughout our life. It's not going to matter when we get to heaven if we have a ton of really cool possessions. It's not going to matter if we held the most amazing job title in the job that we have that we could ever achieve. It's not going to matter what our friends thought of us. It's not going to matter what the world as a whole thought of us, if we're remembered or if we're forgotten. What's going to matter is if we did for Christ what we said we were going to do when we identified with Him. What's going to matter is if we live our lives for Him and we can then stand before Him one day and hear that He is pleased with us. Doesn't mean that we were perfect, but it means we lived our lives and that trajectory of our lives was pointed towards Him and was seeking Him every single day. And that we can say that we identify with Him and that we can say that we have lived our lives telling others around us that we identify with Him. So I asked you those two questions. What is your spiritual identity? Maybe if you're sitting here today and all the things that I've been talking about, you're like, wow, I've never even heard this before. This is something, what are we even talking about here? Or maybe you even acknowledge, I know that my spiritual identity is unsaved. I know that I have not accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Folks, if that is you today, today you can become a new creature. Today you can change that trajectory of your life from just searching for that identity and trying to live for yourself, and you can change that today. And it's not this thing that is this weird mystical feeling. It is something that will change your life for eternity. It's also not something that you can ever do in and of yourselves. It's not something that you can earn just by coming and sitting in the pew here today. Or you can earn by going out and doing good deeds. It is only given to us as a free gift from Jesus Christ because He died for us on the cross. See, our sins separated us from God. We're saying that all of us are sinners. No one is righteous. But God commendeth His love toward us and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can have that free gift of salvation if we call upon the name of the Lord. We admit to Him that we are sinners, that we acknowledge that we have sinned and we're asking for forgiveness for those sins. And we come before Him and we ask Him to save us from those sins. And He will save you. And as we looked at, you will be eternally secure. And if you're here today and you want to do that and you want to understand what that means, please do not leave these doors today without talking to somebody about your eternal fate. And today can be your day of salvation. Because, folks, the goal is, what we see in Scripture is that, yes, there are two choices with our spiritual identity, saved or unsaved, but God would desire that every person falls under the category of saved. That every person is able to spend eternity with Him in heaven. So can you honestly say today that your spiritual identity is saved or unsaved? If it is not saved, if it is unsaved, talk to someone today. Come and talk to myself or Pastor Randy or someone that you know you can trust here today. We'd love to open up God's Word and show you how you can have that spiritual identity with Christ. But Christian, what are we identifying with today? What are we living our lives like? Are we telling those around us that we identify with Christ? Or are we identifying with what people think of us? Are we identifying with what we have and what we possess or what we don't have and what we don't possess? What we identify with those bad times in our life or the good times that we have? Or are we solely identifying with Jesus Christ? We need to each look at our lives and to take an inventory and say, am I living my life for Christ and for Christ alone? Folks, Colossians 3:1-3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Folks, if we are risen with Christ, if we are Christians, we claim to identify with Christ. Set our affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. They're going to pass away. They're going to be corrupted, that we cannot take into eternity with us. identify with Christ and with Christ alone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, as we looked in 2 Corinthians, the command, the reminder that we are a new creation. Lord, that there is going to be that point where we're going to have to realize, have we been living our lives for you and identifying with you, or have we been identifying with how the world wants us to be identified? Lord, I pray that we would not place our identity in anything temporary and anything that this world has to offer, because all those things are going to pass away. Lord, I pray that we would identify with you. Lord, I pray that, first of all, that every person here today would know for sure where they're going to spend eternity. Lord, that each person can say for sure that they know they're going to spend eternity in heaven, and that they don't have to doubt about that. But Lord, there is someone here this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that you would just grip their hearts. Help them to understand that nothing else they're going to do today, tomorrow, this week, or the rest of their lives is going to have any amount of significance if they do not make that decision. Lord, the lost are going to continue to be searching, to trying to find their identity. We should not be surprised when the world acts like it does, because they're looking for their identity. But Lord, we as Christians, we should be secure in that identity. We should know whom we have believed in. We should live set apart lives. Lord, I pray that each person here today would have that decision made today. Lord, help us as Christians to live for you, to have our affections set on you. Lord, that we would look to you in the example that you have, that you gave when you were here on this earth. Lord, I thank you so much for loving us enough to send your Son to die for us. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could stand with me and